to imagine looking out your window and seeing a lady standing outside her house with a sledgehammer. And imagine her beginning to hammer away at this house, busting windows, breaking bricks, splintering wood, and bringing the house down around her with her family in it. What would you think about that? Now let's consider Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Last week we learned that our homes need to be built by the Lord and not by society's ideals. And yet many women today have based their roles upon modern feminist ideals rather than the Word of God. And in essence, they have begun to tear down their homes with their own hands. And since today is Mother's Day, I thought it would be good to remind us of the wife's role in building up her house and being like the wise woman that's being talked about here in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1. And so if you have your Bible, turn over to Genesis chapter 1. This is one of the main texts that defines and governs the wife's role in the home. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to start with verses 26 through 28. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. So then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And so I want us to notice in particular verse 27, where it says, "When God created man in his image, he made them male and female." And I want to emphasize that woman was not an afterthought. This was God's plan from the beginning to create a more complete picture of who he is and his image. And then in verse 15 of chapter 2, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." So God gave man a job to do, presumably one that was suited to his abilities and one that he could handle. And then he gives the woman a role as well. He says in verse 18, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" Now, it's not that God just realized that, but he waits until Adam recognizes his need for a wife. After he brings all these animals to Adam and he has to go and name them all, and he realizes he's alone. And it's then that God supplies that need, as he intended to do from the beginning. And so what is the role of a helper here in this context? Well, she solves her husband's loneliness. And she is his everyday companion. She is someone that he can confide in, and someone that he can share his aspirations and his dreams with. But my point in looking at this text is that, like men, there are certain roles and certain jobs that women are better suited to do. Women have this kind of motherly love that men just don't have. Women have the kind of tenderness for especially their children that men don't have. And certainly women are better role models for their daughters. And there's probably even other things I can talk about. But my point is that there are certain things that God has created men to do and certain things that God has created women to do. And each person is suited to do that work. And let's just talk for a few moments. What ways is woman a helper to her husband? First of all, I think we need to understand that wives are designed to help meet their husband's emotional needs through tenderness and affection. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 2, it says, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband, and let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. But another way that she is a helper to her husband is by adapting to his mood. And we're familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as it talks about the subject of love. Love is patient, love is kind, love bears all things, and ultimately he concludes that love never fails. And so why does he need to be sensitive to your husband's day and try to meet the needs of the moment? For example, let's say your husband comes home from a long day of work and nothing seemed to go right that day. And you see that he's frustrated, he's mentally exhausted. What do you do? Or another example, your husband just spent all day on Saturday trying to fix the car. And instead of fixing it, he makes it worse. And you have to call a tow truck to have it repaired and get the job done right. That would be me. But as wife, what do? How do you respond to that? And so you can meet your husband's emotional needs through tenderness and affection by adapting to his mood and ultimately through respect. Ephesians 5 and verse 33 says, let the wife see that she respects her husband. And respect is just as important to men as love is to a woman. And what is respect? Well, respect basically in this context is esteeming her husband's personal qualities or abilities. And it also means that you defer to your husband's God-given leadership. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later in our lesson. But wives are also a great helper in that they help meet the needs of the family as a homemaker. In Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, Paul says that older women are to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Now, that phrase, workers at home, is not implying that women cannot work outside the home, but her primary focus is on her family and not on her career or making a name for herself. And we need to understand that in an attempt to find equality in the modern world, we tend to forget that our deepest needs are met in the home. Because that's where we find strength. That's where we find love. We tend to forget that in our modern society today. You know, we're trying to find satisfaction and love and strength in anything else but within our family. Ladies, you need to understand that the home is your sphere of responsibility that God has given you. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, he says that wives are to manage their households. And so that word manage means that that's your domain. That's your realm of authority that God has given you. And therefore, you are to the best of your ability, make sure that the affairs of the home run smoothly. And I think about the picture of the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, of someone that managed her home or her household. And we're not going to look at all these passages, but just to summarize, in verse 13, we see that she's the one that provides for the clothing needs of her family. And she does whatever it takes to provide food for her family. In verse 14, she puts the well-being of her household before her own comfort. In verse 15, and she also prepares for the future, whether it's the clothing needs of the family or food or just making sure that the family is financially sound so that they can do something in the event of an emergency. Certainly, she is a capable teacher of wisdom, as Proverbs 31 and verse 26 says. And so as you look at this list, and there's even more that we could talk about, and what women can do for their homes, this idea that a homemaker is an inferior job is ridiculous. And yet that's how it's often portrayed in our society. But again, remember, God has created woman with the ability to get the job done. And when she fulfills her responsibilities, Proverbs 31 and verse 28 says that her children rise up and bless her. And her husband also praises her. And men and children, how often do we show appreciation for our wives and our mothers? I mean, we think about today's Mother's Day, and of course we're showing appreciation for her. We've got her flowers, we made breakfast in bed, we've done all these great things for her. We're thankful, but what about every other day? And I would bet if women in our society felt that their God-given work was invaluable, rather than a burden, I think many wouldn't be trying so hard to find fulfillment somewhere else. We also need to understand that she is a helper and that she helps guard the home. And the phrase workers at home in Titus 2 and verse 5 literally means house guard in the Greek. Now, that doesn't mean that she makes sure that the doors are locked at night and sets the security system. That's not what I'm talking about. But she is the spiritual guardian of the house, along with her husband. And therefore, ladies, you are to guard against the evil influences that would destroy the purity of your husband and your children. And along those lines, you are also a big helper when it comes to raising the children. And ladies, I can't stress this enough. You play a vital role in the nurturing and the teaching and the disciplining of your children. And I want you to consider the impact that Lois and Eunice had on Timothy. Where in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, we're told that they created with him a sincere faith. That he wanted to search for God and to show his love for God. And they also taught him the scriptures, which 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15 says, is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Timothy grew up in the faith. He learned about God, and as a result, because he grew in his love for God, because of his mother and his grandmother, he was a very profitable servant for Christ, and a fellow worker and son in the faith to the Apostle Paul. But sadly, Americans don't value the job of nurturing and raising children. And sadly, I think many tend to pass off their kids to daycares and the school system and or grandparents and say, okay, you take care of that job. You know, I'm too busy doing this or that. I think the reason why Americans don't value that job of raising and nurturing children is because sin distorts women's roles into something other than God had planned for them. And I think that's why there are so many unhappy women and children and fathers in our society today. But again, let me emphasize, there is nothing more important or more fulfilling in life than raising children. Especially when you see your children excited to come to worship and wanting to glorify God in their lives. And I'm thankful as we watch James grow, especially, we give him a songbook and he just goes nuts. He just loves to sing, and he loves to praise God. And I look forward to the day when he is able to grow and become even a leader within God's church. But being a helper is an admirable position that God has placed women in. And it's not an inferior task, as some believe. But it is the role that God has equipped you to do, and not just do, but to do it well. And when you fulfill that role, you build up your house in the Lord. And you positively impact our society as well. But let me also suggest that if you want to build your home in the Lord, you need to be submissive to your husband. And if you would turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Ephesians 5 and verse 22. As Paul talks about the roles of the husband and the wife. He says in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, let's talk about this passage for a few moments here. That word submit, how is it used in the Bible? Well, first of all, it's used in the sense that it involves recognition of an ordered structure to whom appropriate respect is shown. Friends, we need to realize God's system of having one in authority and others who submit is a practical issue. And any group working together to accomplish certain goals needs to have a leader who has the final authority. That's the way it is in the church. That's the way it is in the business world. That's the way it is in sports teams, and especially in our families. And we see in our reading in verse 23 that God has made the husband the head of the wife. And therefore, as the spiritual leader of his home, he has the final say in decision making, especially when it comes to raising the children in the Lord. But we also need to understand that submission is the voluntary giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility and carrying a burden. And I really want to emphasize that word on the screen, that biblical submission is voluntary. It is not forced, man. And there is a very clear picture in the book of Ephesians that submission should be the natural response to a loving leadership. Namely, when you, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church, in verse 25. But sadly, in our society today, submission is frowned upon and looked down upon because submission is seen as something that is oppression rather than something that is good for the family and good for the wives. And it's because men are not loving their wives as they should and not loving their wives as Christ has loved the church, which I think is even more important. But submission today is just countercultural. When we look at feminists today, they preach that women should not be constrained to be submissive to their husbands. And women should not be constrained to be chained to the role of being a housewife. Do you hear that a lot in society? And the message that we hear is, well, women should be able to explore their fullest potential. You know, they should not be limited in their opportunities for accomplishment and power and money. Now, let me clarify something here. I'm all for women's rights and equal pay and things like that. But we need to realize, friends, that feminists today are not fighting for equality, but for superiority over men. And there's a very clear sense that they don't want to submit to anybody, especially our Lord Jesus Christ. And ladies, you need to guard yourself against that kind of mentality. But in Ephesians 5, verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Now, when we submit to Jesus today, do we resent that? Do we say, you know, Jesus, I'm not getting my fair share of the leadership? No. We're thankful, aren't we, that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. But you notice, as Paul says that wives are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord, he also says in verse 24, wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Now, you hear that word everything and you think, okay, where's the loophole? You know, are there limitations to that? And yeah, certainly there are limitations. You know, if the husband tries to get you to do something that is contrary to the Word of God, certainly you cannot obey. Acts 5 and verse 29, we must obey God rather than man. But I often hear questions like, well, what if my husband isn't a Christian? Or what if he's a jerk? Or what if he doesn't love me as Christ loved the church? You know, do I have a way out? Can I not have to submit to him? And ladies, you still have a responsibility, even in those situations, to submit to them respectfully. And why is that so important to do? Well, 1 Peter chapter 3 in verses 1 and 2 says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct." And so he says, your example and respectful conduct is going to lead your husband to Christ. They're going to be more open to listening to you, and especially the words of Christ. But then Peter elaborates on the kind of submissive attitude that wives ought to have in verse 4. And he says, "Let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a meek and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." Now, those who were here last Sunday night, remember that meekness means strength under control. And it is the very quality that Jesus had as he hung on the cross. And it's the quality that all Christians need to have in their lives, and not just women. But he says, wives need to be meek and have a quiet spirit. Meaning, you know, she's not nagging to get her way, but she's humbly serving in a way that is pleasing to God. Now, let me ask you this question here. Does a wife have a meek and quiet spirit if she takes matters into her own hands without consulting her husband? Or does a wife have a meek and quiet spirit if she argues and argues with her husband to get her own way? Or does a wife have a meek and quiet spirit if she pouts and gives her husband the silent treatment? Or if she harbors resentment towards her husband? Or does a wife have a meek and quiet spirit if she belittles her husband's actions or manners or personality or decisions? Friends, we need to understand that a wife who only submits to her husband when she agrees with his decisions or opinions or directions is not submission. And a wife who is insubordinate and disrespectful when she disagrees with her husband is certainly not a submissive wife. And in effect, she does not respect her head, Jesus Christ. But let me just deal very quickly with some misconceptions about subjection, and the lesson will be yours. Does subjection mean that the husband can treat his wife like a doormat? That he can walk all over her? Because that's how many women today view subjection. But men, pay attention here. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 says, "Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." He says you need to honor her. You need to accept her for who she is and view her as highly precious. And he says you need to live with her in an understanding way. You need to be sensitive to her needs. You need to listen to her advice. And let me emphasize, men, that leadership is not domination. It's not forcing your wives to agree with you. It's not forcing them to be what you want them to be. But rather, leadership is leading through a Christ-like example. And when the husband loves his wife as his own body, as Ephesians 5 and verse 28 says, the more inclined your wife will be to submit to you and to respect your leadership. Let's ask another question. Does subjection equate to inferiority, as some believe today? Matthew 20 and verse 26, "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as," here's the comparison, "even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, greatness is equated to service. It is equated to submission in the eyes of God. Ladies, we also need to understand that you're not the only ones who are called to be submissive. Because in Ephesians 5 and verse 21, Paul says that all of us are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And how are we to do that? We're to do that with a sacrificial love for one another as Jesus has shown to us. And so, ladies, I want to challenge you to be the respectful helper that God has created you to be. And when you do this, not only will you build up your home in the Lord, but your children will rise up and call you blessed. And your husband will say of you, "Many daughters have done excellently, but you surpass them all." Proverbs 31 and verse 29. And so if you're not a child of God this morning, and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who died for your sins, we hope that sacrifice will motivate you to turn away from sin and submit your life to Christ in baptism. And when you arise from that watery grave, you now can partake of the blessings of being part of Christ's family and enjoy the strength that God gives you to help you in our eternal life. And so if we can help you become a child of God, we encourage you to come now as we stand and sing.